following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Danny Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Back in studio on this 18th day of November. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday. Monty Kratzenstein, former Husker, is joining us in studio as our co-host today. We'll be talking with Tony Harper to put a wrap on the season for Hastings College. Jared Crick is going to join us at the end of the program today as well. Plus, we're going to talk Husker football. Good morning, Monty.
Good morning. Hey, I was wondering, that was a long radio thing. You were hustling in here a little bit.
I just got back from Hemingford.
How was the panhandle?
It's a long ways out there.
I could have told you that.
It's a long ways back.
Did you stay warm?
Yeah. They took care of us as best they could, and it was better than being outside.
As best they could. I saw a picture of the accommodations.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is. It's one for the books.
Could have been worse.
You know how sports is. Elm Creek and Kennesaw right now are as good as anybody that's left in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I just want to throw that out there right now. Okay, so you got to play them. You get down to the final two, and each game is different. Some of these finals are going to be blowouts. They always are. Mm-hmm. And you go, man, how is that? What, man? But it's next Monday, Tuesday here on ESPN, the only radio station in the state that will bring you all six championship games again this year. We'll dive into that. I want to get right into it. I missed yesterday's show because we were out there. Thanks to Randy and Jim for taking care of business. Did we win Pick'em?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all that really matters.
It's all about you, isn't it, Doug?
No, it's...
No.
I've come to the realization that, again, I'm in a position here where I'm going to be, I think, closer to the way that you defend Nebraska football, because I am sick and tired of sitting here talking about a football team that's 8-2 and, quote, Husker fan, and not even quote, Omaha World Herald thinks the damn world's coming to an end. Yep. Okay, it shouldn't have happened that way, and that's what we're frustrated about. Let's don't lose sight of the big picture that Nebraska is 8-2. Now, again, if they're 8-4, that's a different situation. If they're 10-2, and I said this all summer long, all year long, if you are out there listening to this program, are you honestly going to tell me that you thought Nebraska was going to be better than 10-2 this year? Think about it.
No.
When you were sitting there in June, July, August, off spring ball, were you, I mean, there might be 5% of people that follow Nebraska football, not just turn the switch on Saturday and watch half the game, but 5% would be a high number that thought Nebraska was going to be any better than 10-2. So shut your pie hole. We lost to the two teams that were picked to go to the Big Ten championship game, Wisconsin and Michigan State. I don't care how we lost the game. I don't want to lose 59-24. I'm confused, just like most people, how you can be up 17-3 and get whitewashed like we did the first time we went up to Ohio State, got off to the good lead, and got whitewashed. But again, you got a pretty darn good player on the other side of the that's crushing you up. Now come back, take care of business against Minnesota, take care of business against Iowa, see what that brings you for a bowl game, because Minnesota's got something to play for on Saturday. They are a better football team than we played last year. There, that's my opening rant for today.
And
I'm just tired of the whiners about 8-2. Oh my God, you want to start over with what? You want to go through another 10-year process? That's where we're at now. We're 7 years in, so you just want to wipe the slate clean and start over? Who the hell are you going to get? You people that want new coaches, zip it. You know nothing about coaching football. Okay, there you go.
Wow.
Okay, ex-player.
Wow. That was impressive,
about
by the way.
Once every 2 years.
You went through, I'm making my little notes with my little red pen here, and you went through about 4 points that we could literally talk of each one for about 15 minutes. We won't, but you made good points. Now, if the one thing you know about me is I can defend any side because I try to take the middle, and I really try to look at other people's perspectives on things, okay? What I agree with is your talk about we are 8-2. We lost to the two teams that, frankly, were better than us, that were favored over us. If we would have said at the beginning of the season, which we did, that we would be 8-2 at this point, that's about where we thought we probably should be. Could be worse, could be a little bit better. I totally agree with you. Now, let me take the other side of it. Because you got to get people both sides, right? We got a big viewer. You're right about 90% of the people. They just knee jerk and push the panic button and let's fire everybody. Let's fire everybody from the starting quarterback to the left guard to offensive coordinator to the head coach. But my question hypothetically is this: nobody wants to lose as bad as we've lost over the years. The one thing that has happened consistently is the fact that we have lost games by a huge margin. We have gotten blown out. And I sent you a text earlier and we were talking, and I've thought about this a lot of different times. What goes on in that program? What is going on in that program that causes or perpetuates blowout losses? Because if we're 8-2 and we lost the way we lost to Michigan State, got down, fought back, almost won at the end. If we lost that way to Wisconsin, everybody would be exactly, not everybody, but a lot of people would be exactly where you are right now saying, you know, we're okay, we're this close to being there. But when you get beat as badly as we got beat in the manner we've gotten beat, Wisconsin, you mentioned Ohio State, those things, that's what stirs up this emotion. And that's all it is. It's an incredible amount of emotion.
But it's out of control emotion anymore, Monty. It is out of control emotion. It was people that wanted to fire Tom Osborne because he lost to Oklahoma 7. You know, oh, we can't beat Oklahoma. Let's fire him. I mean, we're 10-1, but we lost to Oklahoma.
Let me ask you two questions. If we would have lost by, throw out a number, 14 points to Wisconsin, would people be saying that to that degree?
They'd be whining.
Okay.
They'd be whining.
Let me ask you.
The same people that are whining be whining.
Sure. One more question. If Bo Pelini had the personality of Tom Osborne or a different personality, would that be different too?
See, for me, and you know I'm on the, you know which side of the fence I'm on here. Again, I'm going to say I was the first one to point this out. Bo TV, Angry Bo Pictures on the websites. Sip knows. The Omaha World Herald guys know. Sean Callahan knows. We've talked about this. Why, when it's just a story on Tuesday of a bye week, are you showing the Bo picture with the vein in his neck? Why?
Yeah. Right.
Why? This is that. That's why I'm pointing at sensationalism for some of Nebraska's media. Why? It's pointless. Bo does smile. Bo does have a good heart. Mm-hmm. Bo is the kind of guy I want coaching Nebraska from a fiery standpoint. And after the first couple of years, I just hate reiterating what I've said 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. He's young. It's his first job. He's got to learn. He's got to grow. He's just like any freshman football player, except that he's not 18. But it's still going through the process for the first time. He's put a lot of that stuff in check. Nobody wants to let it go.
Has he gotten better as a head coach over the last, let's throw out the first couple of years, over the last 5 years? I will say yes. I will definitely say yes. And you can get into examples of that. I will say yes. But he does himself no favors. And that's the problem. And that's who he is. That's what we hired.
Did he do something Saturday to offend?
No. But as a former player, and as a big fan, when I'm watching a game, and you're right, should the TV camera, when something bad happens, always be on him? That's arguable. You know, those producers have a job to do, and probably mm-hmm. to stir up people to talk about it. But one thing that makes me very uncomfortable, and I don't know a word that's any better than that, uncomfortable, is the amount of anger and venom and whatever else you see from that toward a player and assistant coach. Now, the interesting thing about that is, again, players defend him very much so. They're very loyal. His assistant coaches, certainly. Now, I hate it. I hate it when I'm watching TV and I see Bo Pelini look over at Papuchis and just ripping him. But Papuchis has this look on his face like, I don't know what to do. It just looks bad. It looks bad for both of them. It makes Papuchis look incompetent, like he's a puppet.
Or that's what you told me to do.
Yes, yes. And as an assistant, I've been in both situations. And as an assistant coach, you look over at the head coach and you go, I didn't tell him to do that. That's not the way we coach it. It happened. Don't yell at me. Now, if you have a good relationship with your head coach, you kind of have a little bit of back and forth like that. But my point is, being around it, that makes me a little bit uncomfortable because I see that what the perception is reality, and what people see of that fills their perception.
If you'd like to be part of the show, call the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. And, of course, the Dent Popper inbox. Love to hear your comments. We've got a few to get to. Doug and Daddy at ESPN Superstation.com. Doug Duda, Monty Kratzenstein. But, Monty, we don't know what's leading up to these. You know, and again, so four times he tells player A, mm-hmm. okay, I need you to block it this way. Player A messes up. Mm-hmm. Second time, player A messes up. Third time, player A messes up. Then it's time to be a little more stern and do what you need to do. And that, all this stuff, and I see that apparently there's a, anymore you just kind of see headlines when you're scrolling social media if you don't have time to read them all. I saw one this morning, you know, like, well, you wouldn't let your boss do that. What if it was a professor at the university? Well, you know what? If your student caught cheating three times, your professor would fly off the handle. So don't give me that. There are bosses that are, I won't even say the word here because there's a lot of them sliding through here, but, you know, it rhymes with sticks. There are bosses out there that not everybody gets along with. So it's interesting to me.
Okay. Football is obvious. Football is an emotional sport. It's emotional in practice. It's emotional in games. Now, again, and I agree with you. By the way, I agree with you on your whole 90% of your rant about, can we please just stop talking about making wholesale changes and firing this and the knee jerk reaction? I agree with that. But I will say this: there's a lot of different ways to be successful as a coach. And if I look, and I watch a lot of college football, I look across the board, and I look at what successful coaches do, and very few of them show that, right or wrong, show that sort of negative emotion on the sidelines. Who did? Well, who would I compare him to? Will Muschamp and Bo Pelini are, from the outside looking in, the same guy. They are incredible defensive coaches, game plan guys, successful defensive coordinators who have become head coaches, okay? Will Muschamp is now looking for a job. Will Muschamp will also be probably next year a very successful coordinator somewhere, probably South Carolina, you know, and be very good at it. I still think that as a head coach, and this is what, and I'm not saying you fire a guy because of it, as a head coach, you have to be that more CEO, under control type of guy. There's nothing wrong with exploding in anger on the sidelines. But if you, it's like parenting. If you do it a lot, even if it's deserved, it loses its effectiveness. And that's what I think has happened. I'm not inside. The other problem is, and I'm sorry to go on this long rant.
No.
But the other part of it is, I know when you talk to guys down there in the program and players that what we see on the sidelines in the negative aspect of it is 10% of what Bo Pelini is about. Unfortunately, as a fan watching it, that's all we see. That little 10% of screaming, spewing, spitting, all those sorts of things. 90% of what he does is outstanding. Now, the question is whether that 10% that everybody sees, is that enough to create this negative perception of the entire program?
Yesterday, Randy and Jim were talking about, and I think it was Jim's point, who else does this? What other coaches do this?
Brian Kelly.
Nick Saban. Nick Saban. The video's there. It's documented the way he's handled the press from time to time.
What's the difference?
He's winning.
Ah.
He's in the SEC.
Ah, he wins.
He has more talent.
Let
me get to this real quick because okay. I think this comes right on it. This comes from John and Carney. I don't want a new head coach, but I do think a possibility of a change at the OC or DC, offensive and defensive coordinators, could definitely be becoming your way. Something like that. Sean Watson had some success right before and after Nebraska,
mm-hmm.
right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right. There you go. Just wanted to get that in because
when you look about coordinators, and that's kind of the starting quarterback and the offense and defensive coordinators are the lightning rods for all of this. What you do here's the unfortunate thing about it. When something like Saturday happens, as an athletic director or as a head coach, you do not have time to review the state of the program, review this. You have a finite amount of time. You know, your biggest concern right now is what? Getting ready for Minnesota. That's your biggest concern. You can't change. You can adjust. You can do – but you're dealing with 19 to 22-year-old kids' psyche. And the one thing that I think we can all agree in is – there is some fragile psyche involved in after something like that happens.
Why is that, Monty? We're 8-2 and everybody tells them they suck. That's why. The coaches aren't telling them that. The guys inside the locker room aren't telling them that. Mm. It's the people that are writing the articles, that are doing talk shows, that are showing, not so much TV because you don't have time to really give an opinion. Mm-hmm. But the other two, why wouldn't you? You're 8-2 and you're horrible. You're horrible. You stink. I can't believe we're favored by 10 over Minnesota. I'm betting the house on the Gophers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've already heard that.
Sure. Well, you got to talk to different people, Doug.
Well, you're right there.
No, and we all have these friends and acquaintances and people that are like that. And unfortunately, it does just grate on you. On the bright side, I have had some pretty good discussions with some people over the last few days. You know, looking at both sides, trying to evaluate all these things. It doesn't mean a thing because I can't do anything about it. I form my opinion. But former players, guys that coach, guys that are sports knowledgeable people. I've really enjoyed these discussions because I don't think there is an answer. I mean, if there was a magic wand of firing this guy or hiring this guy or benching this guy or changing the offense to this, if it was that easy, those guys are smarter than us, Doug. They would do something like that.
About football.
Yeah, thank you.
Monty Kratzenstein joining me, Doug Duty, here on the program today. The one thing, though, is I just think there's way more. The negative talk overtakes anything that's positive.
Do you agree with his comment, maybe in the press conference yesterday, about the perception of Nebraska nationally is better than their perception locally? That was kind of an interesting comment that Coach Pelini made.
He's probably right, but it's not big nationally. I mean, the perception, the national people have kind of, their stories about Nebraska aren't about football. They're about Bo Pelini's cat. They're about Bo Pelini's demeanor. They're about the weak West division in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. The positive spin right now is that you have an Amir Abdullah, who unfortunately now in the last 3 weeks has fallen off the face of the earth. There is another journey tomorrow night on the Big Ten Network about Melvin Gordon and Amir Abdullah. They were there, about their friendship. There'll be a piece on that tomorrow night on the Big Ten Network. We've got to take a break here. Tony Harper will slide in a few minutes. I've got some Husker emails we're going to get to, so fire them off, folks. That's what we're here for a couple of days after. I'm just saying, in counting this season and the four previous, Nebraska has not lost back-to-back regular season games under Bo Pelini. I kind of like that stat. Last year they might have been a punt return away at Penn State from losing three in a row. So you can always go back and forth, but the bottom line is what it is. We'll be back after this.
The annual Gateway Farm Expo, November 19th and 20th at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds, is bigger than ever this year, with an additional building full of exhibitors ready to help your ag business succeed. Enjoy free lunches and entertainment, and register for a chance to win a new Polaris Sportsman 400. Sponsored by Town & Country Bank, Monsanto, and Sim ShopEasy. The 2014 Gateway Farm Expo in Kearney, coordinated by Kappa Co-op, November 19th and 20th.
It's the Gateway Farm Expo!
So you work late, golf, play ball, whatever. You're thinking,
if I could just a great happy hour, got something good to eat after 10 at night.
Well, Jersey says come on in Monday through Thursday, 9 to 11, and enjoy late night happy hour. For everyone who wishes they hadn't missed happy hour. And they're serving food till 11.
Seriously, why didn't I think of this?
Jersey Sports Bar, your true neighborhood sports bar where the grill and the game are always on. North 2nd Avenue, Vista Point Shopping Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mainly sunny skies develop today as we head our way in the upper 30s for highs. Winds will also stay to the west-southwest, about 10 to 15. For tonight, with partly cloudy skies, we'll head down to 19 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 19.
Doug and Daddy's show, about 5 minutes away from catching up with Hastings College coach Tony Harper here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, and Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram with some special incentives out there. And don't forget to experience the new Buick Model Year Closeout. Celebrate with 0% APR for 60 months for qualified buyers and exceptional cash offers on all remaining 2014 Buick models at Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac. 0% APR for 60 months, plus $2,500 total allowance on the 2014 Buick LaCrosse. Take care of it before the holiday seasons overwhelm you. We know how fast now until the first of the year rolls around. Your Midway Auto Dealerships. ThinkMidway.com. It's a better way to see everything that is on the lot, to also see some great deals. Maybe you just need some service work done. They've got some deals there for you as well. Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. The emails are rolling in.
Is that good? Is that good or bad?
Well, it means people are... Blah, blah, blah. That's what that means. Let's start with Brent. Brent says, Double D, since the Husker loss on Saturday, I've listened to many sports talk radio shows in Nebraska, and the negativity towards Pelini is insane. The Husker fans damn near ran Osborne out of the state because he couldn't beat Oklahoma, lost most bowl games, and couldn't win the big one. This attitude is crazy. Yes, I was disappointed, but the year is still successful. Now, that's debatable. I know, Brent. I will tell you right now, we have not figured out if the year is a success. That will be determined.
We aren't done with the year yet.
That's what I'm saying.
You betcha.
The season's not over. So Husker Nation, he pulls the Brett Favre, or the Brett Favre, the Aaron Rodgers. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. We have a good thing, and eventually, like with Osborne, it will happen. We are still on the upper echelon of college football. And remember, there are more Callahans out there than Sabins. Thanks, Brent. That's a great point.
Good point.
Cody in Oxford. So, Bo doesn't need fired. But what about some assistant coaches? You said Bo is a young coach. No, I said he was an inexperienced coach. He was young for being a head coach. I don't know that I use the term young, but inexperienced. So are his assistants. None of them proven, by the way. Maybe we need to hire some proven assistant coaches, like a quarterback coach, since we can't seem to develop one. Sorry, Joe Gans. Maybe some assistants that have the guts to challenge Bo on issues with schemes, play calling, etc. Cody, I understand your passion. You're totally off base. Your head coach is never going to hire assistant coaches that challenge him or have more experience or more success than he has had. Lane Kiffin has not had more success than Nick Saban. Who are you going to get? These guys aren't out there. The guys you want are the young guys with the fire in their belly, with something that they have come out of successful programs with something to prove. You cannot go hire a 60-year-old. What, you want Charlie Weiss here? You want Mark Mangino here? I mean, those are the kind of things that you're talking about when people go down that road. We need to get different assistant coaches. You know what? If you give them 10 five-star players, I'll bet they're better coaches.
If I have mixed emotions on this hiring of a staff, because hiring of a staff is always such an interesting sort of a thing, because when you hire a staff, you hire people that have similar philosophies. Guys, I guarantee you that in those coaches' meeting rooms, those people aren't all yes men. I've seen it. I know it. I've been around it. I know they aren't. Now, it might appear that way on the sidelines, but that isn't the way it is. Am I saying that staff down there is the perfect staff? No. But, you know, that again, that knee jerk of you got to fire this to make this happen. It just doesn't work that way.
Exactly. Adam, I agree people blow things way out. That said, we got out-coached every big game. We have athletes. It's almost like we don't know how to use them. Getting rid of Bo would mean starting back at zero. You would have to get a big-name guy in there or the program would suffer. This comes from Jeremiah in Grand Island via the Twitter. Unfortunately, we are as ignorant of a fan base as there is in the country.
Wow. After everybody says we're so knowledgeable.
That might be part of the reason why we ignorant.
I don't disagree. You know, is it the vocal majority or is the vocal minority?
It's the vocal minority.
Yeah.
Nate says here in Kearney, okay, if that's the case and the players are to blame, which is what no one ever says, Bo isn't a bad coach and his assistants are just doing what Bo says, then recruit smarter, stronger minded players. If the players aren't getting it, then it falls on the coaches. I think Bo needs better assistants. That's all. Bo can coach. Do I like Bo? Not really, but you're right, Doug. Who else are we going to get? Offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, line coach, quarterback coach. There has to be something better. Nate Porter. Thanks, Nate.
Yeah. Some good points all along there. Very good points. I will say this, though. It isn't one or the other. You know, when you look at teams that are successful, it's because they've had the right – what makes them successful? When Boise State was winning all those games with all those two-star, one-star guys – then it was like, oh, you got coach and develop players, and they've got this chemistry, and that's what makes them successful. When Alabama wins all those games, it's because they got all five stars. There's a lot of different ways to be successful, and it all fits together. It isn't just one or the other.
Oh, we got so much going on. One more here, and then Tony Harper's going to join us. Scott and Carney. Doug, what are yours and Monte's thoughts on Bo when he's hired his buddies as coaches? If memory serves me correctly, Coach Solich did the same thing but realized changes needed to be made and brought in new minds. As you know, I'm not a football-minded person. Go Big Red and let's keep Bo from the sod father, Scott. My two thoughts are they're not always buddies,
right?
Because Barney Cotton and Ron Brown are on the staff. Now, I don't know about the relationship with Ron because they were together for the 1 year he was here as DC.
I'd call it mutual respect. Buddies, but mutual respect.
And Coach Solich didn't hire buddies. He kept the same staff until he was forced to make changes the last year that he got to be the coach, and that has alienated him from a lot of those guys that he played for and worked with for a number of years. Monty?
On the defensive staff, Coach K and him are not – I mean, you said call buddies. I mean, that basically means guys you grew up with, guys you know, guys you worked with, you hire your buddies type of deal. Coach K is not that guy. Coach Warren is not that guy. Coach L's and him work together but aren't considered buddies. I think the one idea that people have is that Papuchis and him, because of their relationship, that would be the guy. And I don't disagree with that. They're very close. He has brought him along. Is it working? I don't know. I'm not in the meeting rooms, but when you give up as many points we've given up in big games, the obvious reaction would be, no, that's not working. But I agree. I don't think they're all his buddies. I think you go out and you hire guys that have similar philosophies, have similar ideas. If they happen to be guys you get along with also and go out and your families hang out together, that probably works too.
Well, we will get back to more Husker talk because that's what people like to do. Jared Crick is going to join us in our last segment today. He actually shot me a text yesterday when we were driving out to Hemingford. How's it feel? You know, what's the feeling like? And yeah, I gave him a response.
I'd love to hear from Jared always.
Yeah, Tuesday's their day, and we're going to find out why he didn't get the interception Sunday when it was, you know, right there in his hands. But Tony Harper and Hastings College and UNK, as we do every Tuesday, have wrapped up their seasons. Hastings College does it with a win, getting to play in the snow with Nebraska Wesleyan, 31-24, 6-4. Coach, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I got all kinds of stuff. Well, I want to start with what we're discussing here because I don't think it matters where you are at. High school is a totally different thing because you can come in and take a head coaching job, and the other guys are teachers, and they're going to be on your staff. You can mold them a little bit. You took over the job at Hastings College. How many of the guys on your staff, and I'm not a number, but when you put your staff together, how many of them were friends? How many of them were just colleagues that you knew had been doing some good things?
Well, when we took over 4 years ago, there was one guy on here that him and I had a history at another institution, Coach Kamara, and obviously we were fortunate enough to keep him. Coach Holzclaw, he was willing to stay on the staff as well. We just coached together for the 2010 season under Coach Merck, so I'd kind of gotten to know him only just through that previous season. Coach McCauley, our running backs coach, was already here. I knew him coaching here at Hastings and everything like that, but everybody else that I've been fortunate enough to hire and bring on, I had no previous experiences with them except coaching against them or seeing them coach in different institutions. So it's kind of a 50-50 split for us.
I'll ask you the second question here, and this is the broad picture. We'll get to your team. 6-4. Satisfied?
No.
You want to be 10-0. Okay, so you're going to give me the head football coaching. So let me go a different way. From last year to this year, satisfied with the improvement?
I am encouraged by the improvement that we saw. I am encouraged by what I saw our seniors do this year and take us from a 2-8 team to a 6-4 team, a 5-4 team within the conference. You know, we're 7 points away from being 8-2. We're 21 points away from being 9-1. I think realistically, that's what we were shooting for. We didn't get it. We don't want to be satisfied with where we're at. We've set a good foundation, but there's no more excuses. These are our guys. We're excited to have those guys. I'm proud of the seniors and what they did, but we got to get better.
Coach, just because I think we can laugh about it now, how far are you away from being 10-0? Okay. Monty has a question. Monty has a question for you now.
I'll give you an answer on that. We're about 973 yards away from being that.
That's a great answer.
Well, see, Coach Harper, the thing that I think stings when you talk about the Huskers is that Melvin Gordon now is in the record book, and sure, it's always going to say versus Nebraska, and it's going to do that for quite a while. It'd be great if somebody went out and broke that next week. And against Morningside, a record that you didn't want to have happen because it's against you happened to Hastings. So Coach Harper knows a little bit about that, Monty.
Coach, how big a deal? Is that a big deal? I mean, is that really a big deal when it comes to, you know, your name is in the record books in a negative way? It's one loss. Is that a big deal?
To ego-wise, it is. In the grand picture, in the grand scheme of things, it's really not. I mean, it's a bad day. It's a bad day for those guys on defense. It was a bad day for us on defense. There's things that we can do to get better. There's things that they can do to get better, and they will get better. I think you can look at it one of two ways. You can hang your head and feel embarrassed by it, or you can get your head up and you can fix it and try and get better. And that's what we try to do, and I know that's what those guys are going to do.
Let me talk a little bit about, or ask you a little bit about your process now. Your season's over, and obviously recruiting is a big deal. And at what point, and how much time do you take before you start to really evaluate your season in a deep manner? And by that, I mean looking at all your offensive plays, what you did well, what you could do better defensively, scheme-wise, against different teams. You know, breaking it all down like coaches do during the off season. How long does it take for you to be able to do that with more of an objective sort of viewpoint?
Well, I think, you know, that's a really good one, because right now we're still very excited and confident in how the season ended up for us on that two-game win streak. You know, our guys are already out on the road. I'm individually meeting with every single player that's returning our team this week. Next week we got turkey break. That'll be a time for us to kind of decompress, blow out the oxygen a little bit, and focus on recruiting. I think when you really get into that, or at least this is how we're going to do it, over Christmas break is when we will sit down and reevaluate the general philosophies of each side of the ball, including special teams. We'll hit the road again. We'll have a lot of visits. We go through up to signing day in early February. We'll have spring ball starting, you know, end of March time. You know, so you're looking at the end of February, beginning of March. That's when we will go through every single play that we have on huddle and basically just cut it up with a good knife and a bad knife. The good knife is the things that we want to keep. We want to continue to focus on and continue to get better. The bad knife is okay, let's just cut that out like a bad tumor and get rid of it, learn from it, forget about it, and let's get better. And that's kind of what we'll do. And then when our spring ball is over with, we will delve even deeper into it and say, okay, these are the tweaks that we want to make coming out of spring ball. So it's an ongoing process, and it's a thing that's going to take time, and it's a thing that coaches have to be able to be willing to have another coach on the staff be like, hey, coach, this ain't going to get it done. What do we try? Why don't we try this? We have to be open-minded, and you know, that's just kind of how we will go about it.
Well, Coach, I love hearing that, because that's the part when I coached way back when. That's the part that I loved. I love that digging into it and creating that game plan, creating that plan for the season and whatnot. And I think it's good for our listeners to hear that sort of thing, because I think one thing football fans have in common is they think that it's really easy to flip the switch and change what you do. you laugh because you know that's not true, but you know, why don't we do this? Why don't we just do that? And you understand it's a lot bigger than that. True or false?
Oh, that's true. I mean, it's a process, because not only can you sit in your office and watch all this film and be on the same page as coaches, then you got to flip around and watch the same film, sell it to the kids, have them buy into what we're doing and what we're tweaking. Because, you know, our offense, for example, this year was number two in offense per game, number two in total offense in this league. But there's still things that we can do better, and we can't be satisfied with just being number two. We want to be number one. So when Coach K, Coach Mo, and Coach Holsquad go in there in spring ball and say, guys, we're going to tweak this, this, and this, you got to make sure you give these players the reasoning why and what it's going to be and what it's going to look like at the end of the spectrum here. Now, defensively, we were terrible. We were unacceptable on the defensive side of the football. We completely tweaked things. So it's a little bit easier for us to say, okay, we're dead last in this, this, and this. When we made the change, we got up to second in this, third in this, fourth. So we have immediate results that we can kind of get the guys to buy into. But, you know, it's not just the coaches. It's getting your players and your team to buy into the tweaks that you're making. And it is the first time you put it in, I mean, balls are going to be falling off each other's helmets. They're going to be tripping over each other. You just got to stay with it and show the guys that there's a reason behind this. Trust the system and trust the process.
We're talking with Tony Harper, Hastings College head football coach. Let's touch for a moment on the game that wrapped things up on Saturday. You go from Jason Gaines throwing a pick six to being down 14-0 to having the ultimate way to end a season. He makes a great play with his legs. You come back, you win it in the final few minutes, 31-24. And he had had a pretty darn good game.
He really did. And Jason, you know, he's only going to get better. I mean, he's a great competitor. He throws a nice tight ball. But, you know, and maybe I shouldn't be saying this live on the air, but I was teaching theory of football in class just about 2 hours ago, so I pulled up the play that Jason took off and ran that 30-plus yard touchdown. Now, I don't know, again, if I should be saying that on air, but we watched the play in class, and he just had a feel to where he needed to cut the ball back, and on the, when he turned it vertical and went north on it, instead of trying to go to the pylon, he just tried to run over the DB. I go, Jason, you're a quarterback, man. You got to get to the corner. You can't put your head down. He goes, Coach, I just wanted to get it that bad. So he had a great day. The O-line did good. The receivers caught balls in very tough conditions, and it was a fun game, and it was fun to watch that offense do what they did.
The all-conference team is out. I'm sure that you probably know who's on it by this time, but let's go over it a little bit. And starting on the first-team offense, Jordan Wallman, Tanner Paxton are there for you. They are your first-teamers this year.
I tell you what, those guys are both four-year starter. Excuse me, Pax is a four-year starter, been all-conference every year. This year he was unanimous. He's been the heart and soul of our offensive line for the last 4 years, and he's done a great job of carrying on a tradition of good offensive linemen, you know, Tom Van Hout and some of the guys here before them. So we're excited for Pax. And Wallman, I think, hands down, is probably one of the most dynamic tight ends in the league. He can split out, he can block, and he was a three-year starter, and he just, you know, he did a great job this year. Didn't have the stats, but that's because you had Austin Curley and Noah Hausch on each side of him. So, but Wallman deserved, both those guys deserve first-team recognition.
And Matt Overmiller, your quarterback who's been out here at the end of the season because of an injury, is respected enough to be the second-team quarterback. Also on the second team, Noah Hausch, you just mentioned him. Landon Arnold on the offensive line is there for you as well. And linebacker Eric Wiley.
I tell you what, old Lando, Landon Arnold, came from us from Millard North, never played center a day in his life, comes here to play his guard his freshman year. Last year, we lost our starting center, and he had to go out and play against Morningside, and it took forever, it seemed like, for that ball to get from the center back to the quarterback and our shotgun stuff. But he's turned himself into a good football player, and he did because he's a little bit quicker for an offensive lineman. He's not the biggest guy out there, but he's got really good speed to get up to that second level. And, you know, Matt Overmiller, he played in 6.5 games. If you really want to get into it, he played in, you know, some tough games, and to have the stats that he did, it really wasn't even a hard sell, to be quite honest with you, at the coaches meeting on Sunday. I mean, every coach was shaking their head like, yeah, he's deserved this. So, you know, he had a great senior year, and I'm excited for him to be able to finish like that. And then Eric Wiley, he was second-team all-conference last year. He led us in tackles again this year. We're going to miss Eric. We're going to miss all those guys. But Eric was kind of the heartbeat of the defense, so he had a really good season for us as well.
He is the head football coach at Hastings College, 6-4, so they went from 2 wins to 6 wins, so that means 10 wins next year. I can't wait, Coach.
Hey, you know, I could sit here and do the coach speak, but I'm going to tell you this right now. Let's get it done then. We're preparing for it.
That would be awesome. Enjoy the holidays, and we'll talk again soon, Coach. Always appreciate your time, and congratulations to you and your kids and your coaching staff on a very much improved season, very much improved program from last year.
I really appreciate y'all having me on throughout this whole year and listening to me mumble, and appreciate your support. And I promise one guy, I give him a quick holler on the air. Coach Baugh is on the road recruiting, so he said he'd be listening to
me.
I told him I mentioned his name.
No, because he sent me a text message 10 minutes before we were on and said the same thing. So, no, we're not talking to him. I know he says he's out recruiting. He's probably eating a big breakfast someplace at a diner.
He's at the McDonald's. He's at the McDonald's down the street. You know he is.
Well, his shout-out duly noted. Hey, Tone, thanks, buddy.
All right, thank you. Have a good day.
Tony Harper, head football coach at Hastings College. Before we go into the break, I will say that it would have been nice to be able to talk to Daryl Morris on the program today. I have been in touch with Coach Morris, and will respect. I hope that sometime we can have Coach Morris on the show again. And these things sometimes get messy when you are dismissing a coach. Coach Morris has been here for 28 years. He's been here every day that I have lived in Kearney. He has always been great to work with. If they got beat 55-0 or they won 55-0, he was going to chat with us. Obviously, some days were better than others in this coaching profession. Whether the move needed to be made or not, that's up for debate. One thing I do know is that if they were in the RMAC, he would still be the head football coach. Now, you can say what you want about progression in the MIAA. I have not changed my stance on the move to the MIAA. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that it isn't all roses and petals and cotton candy like it was made out to be, and I said that from day one. The MIAA is tough. The coaches have said, and many people have said, just to be competitive within 10 years. Take Fort Hays State. Have you heard anything about Fort Hays State? Maybe once, since we have become brothers again in the MIAA and since they left the RMAC. Folks, UNK is trying to catch up. I heard once 20 years before they can become day in and day out competitive. I hope it's not that long. Athletic Director Dr. Plinsky obviously isn't going to take steps that it takes that long. But it's going to continue to take a while. I mean, these guys had to really hustle. I'm telling you, coming into this year, these coaches knew that they need to win, and they tried to do everything they could to bring players in. And sometimes it doesn't mesh that quickly. I will be very interested to see. I'm always interested, Monty, that when you dismiss a coach, the next guy gets paid more and gets more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I never understood why that is. You need to get somebody. I get that part of it, but where was the pay and where was that stuff the last 3 years?
You know, I'm not going to disagree with anything you said. As you were talking, two things came to mind. First of all, I always look at coaches, whether it be high school, junior high, youth, college, whatever, and say, what does that coach do with what he has? Okay. I've coached in a lot of programs or seen a lot of programs that there's some great, great coaches that are 500. I've also seen some guys win some championships. You look at him, you're like, how in the world does that guy win a championship with the way he coaches? You know, I mean, so that was the one marker that I would always say. And I do appreciate what you're saying about Coach Morris. The other thing is all this social media and all these people that always talk about fire coaches, get rid of this, change this. There's human beings involved. And sometimes the head coach, that's a big deal. But a lot of times the assistant coaches, the guys that aren't making that kind of money, that aren't don't have as many options after they're done, those are the people that affect. So I just want to say that, you know, be careful when you say, when you're talking about, hey, we got to do this, we got to fire this, we got to do this, you know, because there's human beings involved. And that's the point that I take out of this too, because as we know, as we work with these guys and we see these guys, you know, it isn't just about wins and losses. It's a bigger picture.
And the all MIAA team is also out today. 11 members of the Lopers make it. Cole Manhart for the second straight year is a unanimous first team selection at left tackle. Pete Trausch is on the second team. Matt Bowman, Romero Cotton, Tyke Kojal on the third team. I think if you're second in the league in tackles, you probably should be higher than third team. Tyke Kojal breaking his own mark this year and now is 63 tackles away from breaking Kellen Werner's school record of 317 total tackles. Honorable mention, Jack Wardine, Shai Harris, Alan Sampson, Cougar Williams, George Brown, and Famous McKinnon. Pitt State quarterback Anthony Abanoa is the offensive player of the year. Matt Longacre is the defensive player of the year. Central Oklahoma quarterback Chris Stallard and Pitt Pitt State kicker Connor Frizzell, the top special teams performer Tim Beck of Pitt State, coach of the year. They, along with Northwest Missouri, are in the playoffs. Got to take a break. Jared Crick coming your way next. And don't forget the Kearney Chicken Coop is here for you. The original sports bar and grill gives you the best of both worlds. A lot of places say they are sports bars and grills, but no one combines the best of both places like the Kearney Chicken Coop. They serve lunch and save you money every single day from 11 to 4. Tuesdays, it's a salad and a soda for $7. Then from 2 to 5:30, sit back, watch all this college basketball that's on today. We've got a great doubleheader tonight. Watch it all. Appetizers, long necks, and draws. Kearney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds. Don't forget to book your holiday parties today in downtown Kearney. Jared Crick next.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts, or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 9 till 8, and weekends 11 until 5.
Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service. From seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Crete & Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Crete & Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Kroll Agency and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, two names you know and trust. With locations in Hastings, Roseland, Kennesaw, and Minden, Kroll Agency has simple health insurance solutions for you, your family, or business. As an independent and authorized producer of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Kroll Agency has the individual health insurance or employee group plan you need. Kroll Agency is proud to be a Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska Diamond Broker. Visit them at Hastings, Roseland, Kennesaw, and Minden.
The College Basketball State Farm Classic. Number 18 Michigan State faces number 4 Duke. Then number 5 Kansas takes on number 1 Kentucky.
Catch all the action tonight at 6 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
I don't know.
What? Did I just get transformed back in the 1990s? Is that what had just happened right there?
Man.
It is some stadium in the 1990s.
Who let the dogs out? Wasn't that the pump-up song for Cozad High School back in the day? Wasn't that?
There's no song, Who Let the Haymakers Out.
No.
They didn't need this kind of stuff to get them going, Douglas.
And again, since I was out yesterday, well, that means Friday night we had all the football, we had the state volleyball, and who knows how time will run here before the end of the day. But Cozad, Kearney Catholic, Grand Island all being knocked out in the state semifinals after outstanding seasons. Congratulations to those guys. Again, all six finals will be here on ESPN Radio next Monday and Tuesday from Memorial Stadium in Lincoln. But Jared Crick, he shot me a text yesterday. He said, what's it feel like in Husker Nation? Crick, good morning. Former Husker Monty Kratzenstein co-hosted with me today. How's things down in Houston?
Getting pretty good so far. You know, we came off with a victory, so everything down here is pretty good.
What was it like, because you were a part of teams that people were complaining or upset? How much do the players pay attention? We were talking about negativity around the program. It says the negativity anymore comes from the press, a lot of the press. How much, the coaches say you don't pay attention, how much did you pay attention?
You know, it was really hard not to pay attention. I mean, if you watched any sort of TV or read any kind of newspaper, after a bad week, you heard it from all angles. So it's hard to really black out of your mind, even though, you know, that's what the coaches tell you to do. That's what you tell yourself to do. It's hard, like you said, because it's everywhere. And actually in Lincoln, Nebraska, where, you know, where football is king. So it's really hard. And I suspect, you know, those guys are hearing it quite a bit. And like you say, a lot of the newspaper guys are saying this and saying that. And, you know, it's hard not to you know, hear all the things that are going on.
Jared Monty Kratzenstein here. Well, isn't it a good thing that there wasn't Twitter when we were younger? When we could never, when I say we could never beat Miami's of the world back in the late 80s, you know, we didn't have to worry about Twitter. We just hunker down and not think about. By the way, was J.J. Watt hard to live with after that deal? Did he give you a little something in the locker room after that Wisconsin-Nebraska game?
Not too bad. You know, after the first time in my rookie year when Nebraska beat Wisconsin at home, I didn't say nothing to him. So
you were a rookie. You were a rookie. You couldn't say anything to him anyway, could you?
I still my 2 cents. You know, JJ's only a year older than me, so it's not like he's a seasoned vet and I was, you know, this newcomer coming in. We're around the same age, so, you know, I could dish it out, but I didn't. And, you know, I think he remembers that. So, he hasn't been doing it to me so far.
We're talking with Jared Crick, former Haymaker, former Husker, and a member of the Houston Texans, playing a lot of football for a Houston team that picked up the win over Cleveland, won two of their last three, and trying to get the ship righted here. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But as far as how much have you actually got to watch the Huskers, Jared, and what's your assessment of what you're seeing?
I've got to catch a couple games. Obviously, they don't carry a lot of the games down here, and you know, sometimes we're on a flight while they're playing, so it's hard to see them then. But I've got obviously the Wisconsin game, the Miami game, and, you know, bits and pieces of, you know, whoever they play, you know, on BTN and stuff like that. But I was pretty optimistic going into the season, and what I saw, you know, after they beat Miami, it was you know, good. And the way they fought back against Michigan State, I thought, you know, showed a lot of character. And I was pretty optimistic. And then, you know, the Wisconsin game, they were looking good early. And, you know, it seemed like one play, that first touchdown that kid ran, they just seemed like they lost momentum. And you could definitely tell that something wasn't going to be right for the rest of the game, in my opinion anyway. And, you know, that was the case. They didn't score again, and they just they let the kid run all over them. So, you know, it was tough to watch, but you know, it's hard to really point where the finger needs to be pointed.
Jared, I know it's hard when we aren't part of the program and in the inside, you know, at meetings and those types of things. So it's really hard to really get a good perspective on things. But from your outside perspective, watching, what are some of the challenges, or what are some of the things you do as a player when things start going badly? In other words, we've all seen these teams when, you know, all of a sudden here comes the run, whether it be in basketball or in football, all of a sudden the momentum has changed. What are some things you've seen or you've done or you've had teammates do or whatever that somehow you can kind of change that momentum and handle that adversity?
You know, in college it was tough. It's kind of the same way, because you know, the way everything's taught there was, if it's not perfect, it's not good enough. And I think, you know, there's obviously, you want everything to be perfect, but, you know, it's the game of football. Not every play is going to be perfect, not even close to perfect. So when something goes wrong, it seems like, especially for Nebraska this week, that everybody kind of lost their cool. Everybody kind of lost their mind. You know, if one thing goes wrong, then, you know, nobody knows what to do. And, you know, that was kind of how it was when I was in college. You know, one thing would go wrong and we'd all freak out because, you know, we didn't do our job or we did everything wrong. I don't know. It was kind of a mental thing. So, and then when I get to the league, you know, I found out, you know, they're getting paid millions of dollars and they're good football players in the National Football League too. So, obviously they're going to have big plays and you're going to have big plays. That's just the way football goes. So if you can have someone that can rally the troops, I mean, because big plays are going to happen. I mean, that's just the way it is. And you got to get past it and move on to the next play. So if you can do that, you're going to be in good shape. And, you know, I don't think there's really a formula of how to go about, you know, getting everybody on the right track. You just got to know that, you know, the other team's going to have a good play here and there. You just got to get past it and move on to the next one. And this week it seemed like Nebraska just couldn't do that. And, you know, I think that's a lot to the aspect that, you know, if it's not perfect, then it's completely wrong. And I think they got the wrong mentality, especially for this week.
Do you think from your experience that that's a situation where you really depend on the senior leaders or leaders of the team, or is it assistant coaches? Is it head coach? Is it a mixture of all three?
You know, it might be a mixture. I mean, definitely the guys on the field got to take charge. I mean, the coaches can't play for you, so you got to go out there and you got to make a play. You know, that's what you want your teammates to do. They not only want you to have everybody, you know, fired up, ready to play, but you want them to be the ones that make the play when the time to make the play comes. But it's a mixture of all three. You know, the coaches still got to be, you know, out of the troops rallied and stuff like that. And I don't think it's really a motivational problem. I just think, you know, guys just got a little too psyched out after one thing went wrong, and, you know, it kind of went downhill from there. They didn't know how to stop it. But, you know, guys on that team got to step up, take charge, and make a play when the time comes. And, you know, that's not just defensively or offensively. It's a group collectively. So we'll have to see, how they fix that.
Houston Texans, Jared Crick joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, the man that has made J.J. Watt what he is today. Crickster, we're still looking for that first pick in the NFL, and you about got it Sunday. You better tell me what happened.
Oh, man, I should have had it. For anybody watching the game, you know, they might have saw the same thing. I had it, well, for those who didn't see it, it was like a flare screen, so I peeled off to try and cover the running back, and he threw a kind of a dinker over my shoulder, so I tried to turn around with one hand, grab it, and, you know, really I shouldn't have got any part of it because I couldn't see the ball at all, but, you know, I got my hand on it, rolled down my arm, and really if I would have kept my left hand out of it, I probably would have caught it one hand and probably had a chance to take it to the house, but, you know, my left hand came over and knocked it out of my right, and that was it. It fell on the ground, and what could have been something great turned out to be, you know, something that looked pretty unathletic, but, you know, I got a batted ball out of it and, you know, stopped a pretty big gain. So I don't know. I guess I'll take the positive over the negative.
That's what you got to do. If you would have caught that, would we have seen a little bit of two receiver sets or two tight end sets with you and JJ? There you go.
It might have been a start. It might have been a real good start. That was my audition right there. So I'm going to have to wait for my next chance to show what I can do on the offensive end. But I don't know. Maybe someday.
On the bright side, you're pretty good defensive tackle, so we got that going for you.
Yeah, I mean, as long as I do my primary job, I'll just worry about that until they give me something else to handle.
Now, I know Foster Arian was out this week, but, you know, those of us whose pathetic lives revolve around fantasy football, tell Watt to quit scoring. That's not doing any of us any good. Just tell him to quit it.
I mean, yeah, it can be, you know, kind of a circus around here sometimes with all the stuff that he's been doing. But, I mean, if it helps us win games, I got to tell the fantasy and all them guys, sorry, man.
Jared Crick's with us here for another couple minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug DeDemonte Kratzenstein with you on this Tuesday. You guys had to suffer through a three-game losing streak where all three games were still up in the air in the fourth quarter. And I think the last time we talked, I wanted to say thank you for letting the Cowboys win in overtime. But now you're back to 5-5. You've won two of the last three. And there are definitely, I know in the NFL, you never know what's going to happen. And that was proven this last weekend. But as I look at the schedule, there are plenty of winnable games left for the Texans. Do you guys go through the motions and say we need four wins, we need five wins? How do you feel the team is setting right now for this stretch run?
The way we see it, it's, you know, every game we're playing it like our last. You know, we see the schedule and we got a lot of games that we can go and, you know, we have a great chance in. But we just got to look at it one game at a time and, you know, take each win as it's the most important win of the season, which they're going to start being. You know, it's a tight race so far, and every win's going to count. So every game's important. Every game's crucial. And if we look ahead of one team, you know, we might, you know, slip ourselves up and it might not turn out to be the way we want it. So we got to take it as, you know, we got six, you know, one-game seasons right now. And just got to take everyone for what it is and just get as many wins as possible. And, you know, at the end of the year, you know, if we do, you know, the best we can and, you know, hopefully things will, you know, set up in our favor. But we got a big game against Indianapolis coming up. I know that. We got a lot of division games left. We got Jacksonville twice, Tennessee one more time. And those are all going to be big games to see, you know, who's going to come out with the division. And, you know, if we can, you know, like you say, all we got to do is keep winning. We control our destiny and, you know, just got to keep working hard and, you know, really hope for the best. just got to play our style of football. And if we do that, hopefully things work out for us in the end.
Last minute with Jared Crick. Crick, I apologize if I've asked you this in previous couple of years, but you got the experience of playing Monday Night Football, which anybody that we've ever talked to that's had a chance to be on the show in the NFL says that's a whole different beast. What was it like playing Monday Night Football at Pittsburgh?
It was awesome. Obviously, we thought we had it wrapped up and won in the first half. We obviously, had the debacle that we had and it slipped out of our hands. But just playing Monday night, it is different because, you're so used to playing at noon during the day on Sundays, getting up real early, playing the game and having the rest of the day to just kind of hang out. Whereas you're off all day Sunday, going through meetings, stuff like that, where you usually would have played. And then you got to go play Monday night, which is, almost a day and a half later than what you usually would, which that kind of throws your body off a little bit. But at the same time, the atmosphere is a little bit more crazy. There's a lot more cameras. You see John Gruden and his guys, and you see another, station and their guys. There's like four different guys, it's kind of a circus, but, it's Monday Night Football. The whole country's watching, and, it's a big deal. So you just got to figure for what it is. And at the end of the day, after, all the lights and all that, it's still football. So you got to go out there and do your job and play your game and hopefully, look good in front of a national audience.
Monty, before we let Jared go, I was driving, listening to the Texans game with the radio guy going nuts when Crick, got that big muscle in the way and it fell off of his arm. What I was really disappointed about, because if we go back in the archives when he hosted the Jared Crick show here and got the Doug and Daddy tattoo across his chest, I can't wait for the locker room interview someday and we'll get to see that. So I'm waiting for that first pick six.
Maybe he dropped intentionally so he didn't show that tattoo. Jared, you got a comment on that?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to reveal it yet. I don't know if they're ready for it.
It is chest. It is chest, right? It's chest, right?
Oh yeah, right on, all over.
Craig, because you've been on the show numerous times and hosted this, and we changed the name of it. Is there anything that you wanted to bring up? Anything in the world that you wanted to make a comment on before we let you get back to your nap?
I do want to give a shout out to the Haymakers. Obviously, they didn't make it as far as they did last year, but had a good season. I got to follow them a little bit. They got like that internet where they can broadcast the games on the internet now, where I can actually watch instead of have to listen. So that's a little bit, that's pretty cool. But, seeing them little kids since, or not so little anymore, but I remember when I was in high school and they were little kids, playing football pretty much every day of the week, rain, shine, or snow, it didn't matter. And I just want to say congratulations to them, proud of them. And I just want to say good luck to all the high school kids out there in the playoffs and state championship games.
Well, Crick, always appreciate the shout-out. And Monty?
I was just going to agree with you. Even as a former Gothenburg Swede, I appreciate it. I do. Got to know those Cozad guys pretty well and a lot of those, and I like following that too. So, that Cozad-Gothenburg rivalry isn't, I always talk about the Cozad guys, say, well, I always got along with them pretty well. At least they aren't from Lex. That's what I always used to say.
Yeah, definitely. Gothenburg kids were always cool. The Lexington kids always gave you the problems. That was always Lexington kids, they were cool too. Gothenburg County, gotta love them.
Well, Crick, always great to hear from you, buddy. Two games at home here, and let's go get a couple, all right?
Indeed, brother. Appreciate you having me.
All right, Crick. Take care, bud. Jared Crick, he's the best, giving us a little Husker intake, insight, and what's going on, of course, in the National Football League. I'll tell you what, Cincinnati, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Indy, Baltimore, Jacksonville, chance to be favorites in at least four of those. And they're sitting at 5-5, so you got to think 5-1. But in this division, if you win the right games, maybe 4-2, get you to 9-7 and get you in the playoffs. And that's all that matters, and that keeps my Super Bowl pick alive.
Again, it's about you, isn't it?
Or was that last year?
That might have been last year. It is fun talking to people like that they're playing at the very highest level. And people get tired of hearing cliches. You're talking about the one game at a time, day by day, it's a process. But dang it, it's true. I mean, it is true. We as fans listening to sports talk radio, we love to look at the big picture and think ahead and whatever. And when you're in the mix, you can't do it. You have to, again, going back to the Husker Wisconsin thing. If they're right now on a Tuesday afternoon thinking about that Wisconsin game, that's a bad, bad thing because there's a process that they have to do to evaluate, to get better, to work in practice. And again, people get tired of it, but it's true. It's a big game on Saturday, boys.
The only thing they should be looking at with Wisconsin is the film and making the adjustments, obviously, from a player standpoint. We need to take a break. Don't forget our Husker lunch tomorrow. Sean Callahan, a Husker Online, live at Cunningham's. Doug and Daddy from 11 to 12. We're jam-packed, 12 to 1. Sean will be on hand discussing Wisconsin, answering your questions, getting you ready for Minnesota. It might not be too early to start looking at bowl prognostications now if Nebraska doesn't make the Big Ten championship. It's all tomorrow, our Husker lunch, 12 to 1 at Cunningham's. Plus, we'll be drawing out for the Minnesota football tickets that we have been registering for during our Husker lunches. Tomorrow, the drought is made. We will take a break and finish it up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
United, we transform lives. It's more than just a slogan. To many in our community, it means the difference between healthcare, financial stability, and education. Through United Way's community programs, over 24,000 lives will be touched by your donations. The funds raised through the annual United Way campaign will help support 41 programs right here in South Central Nebraska. Please find it in your heart to donate to this year's campaign. For more details, log on to UnitedWaySCNE.org or call 461-8412. Give, advocate, volunteer.
Instead of dealing with a bank, let us work for you. Hastings Federal Credit Union, the only member-owned financial institution in the area, offering checking, savings, auto, or mortgage loans too, with lower fees and truly personal service. Serving the financial needs of those who live in Adams, Clay, Fillmore, Knuckles, Thayer, and Webster counties. People helping people. Hastings Federal Credit Union, 707 North Marion Road in Hastings. Online at hastingsfcu.org. Equal housing lender, member NCUA.
There has never been a better time to get your career on track. BNSF Railway is now hiring for conductor trainees in Hastings, Nebraska. If you are interested in being part of a growing team of highly skilled and hardworking professionals, we invite you to apply now. Visit bnsf.com/careers and apply for the conductor trainee positions in Hastings today. Again, it is bnsf.com/careers. BNSF is an equal opportunity employer, military-friendly, and welcome and encourage diversity in our workplace.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Armacoating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Gobble, gobble, goo, and gobble, gobble, giggle. I wish turkey only cost a nickel. Oh, I love turkey on Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
I like turkey a lot of the time. What are you talking about?
Can we do that every single show before Thanksgiving instead of Who Let the Dogs Out?
Sure. Why not? Let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. What is your outlook for the Nebraska men's basketball team? 50% say they're going to get that first NCAA tournament win. 33% said they're going to get into the tournament. 11% said, hey, they're going to get a couple wins, get into the Sweet 16. And then there was Debbie Downer who said no. Outside of Wisconsin, who has the best chance to win the Big Ten West? And Jeff has put these up at ESPNSuperstation.com. Wisconsin, let's see, what do we got here? What's this mean?
The question's outside of Wisconsin, but that's how Wisconsin gets in. They just got to win and Minnesota loses.
Oh, okay.
But the question is, of the three teams not named Wisconsin, who has the best chance to get in?
So Nebraska has to win twice, Wisconsin has to lose twice, and Wisconsin plays us in Minnesota, right?
Yep, it's like a
or no, Minnesota and Iowa.
Yep, Minnesota, yep.
Minnesota, us, and Iowa. Okay. Minnesota can beat, well, they got to win out. And Iowa, win. Win, and Minnesota has to beat Wisconsin or Nebraska. Iowa's not getting in. Who has the best chance? It's Minnesota. They control their own destiny.
There you go.
I hate to say that.
That's true.
But I don't see how crazy. If we beat Minnesota, then we're just going crazy for Minnesota to beat Wisconsin.
Sure.
And it could happen. Minnesota is a weird football team. I don't know how much you've watched them this year, but you'll probably talk about more later in the week. But they are an interesting team with a very good running back, a very good play action game, a boring offense that's so frustrating as a defense to play against because you know they put you in a lot of third down and short situations that you need that big stop. It's they're an interesting team.
And congratulations to our Cunninghams. Fantasy Football Challenge winner, Tolkien9999, for winning Week 11 of the Doug and Daddy Cunningham's Fantasy Football Challenge. Check your email. Is that what we're checking? His inbox?
ESPN.
Is he Facebook ESPN page. Facebook page to pick up and find out more. That's the $25 gift card he's now entered for the $200 Super Bowl party at the end of the year. So congratulations there. Also, the Heisman poll, ESPN experts have Marcus Mariota and Melvin Gordon 1-2, and Gordon right on his heels.
Yeah.
That's so sad. You? Well, it could have been a mirror, and it's just not.
Well, but yeah. You mean that the Heisman – you are we going to – I'm not going to start in on the Heisman Trophy, how much I hate the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, we'll
pass that on to another later date.
We got a couple of weeks there. Congratulations to our state volleyball champions, Giltner second year in a row, Kearney Catholic third year in a row, to Ansley Litchfield. Ron Powell came up to me and said, here's a record that will never be broken. 31 years between state final appearances. Pat Hoblin has been at Ansley and then Ansley-Litchfield all this time. And O'Neill St. Mary's is an outstanding volleyball team. They're the runner-up, but two losses both to St. Mary's. Congratulations, Pat, one of the great people that I got to work with back when I first got into the business, and she just continues to churn it out. Also, basketball and wrestling practices are underway, so that's right around the corner. We've got a lot more going on. We've got Nebraska men's basketball tonight. They host Central Arkansas, 7:05 on Classic Hits, 98.9. The UNK volleyball team plays at noon Thursday against Southwest Minnesota State in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And in the final regular season poll, those teams are co-number four in the country. Again, I
what
say...
What a region. What's wrong?
If where's my poll here? Let me pick up the men's basketball poll. Here it is. The men's basketball poll, and I know it's just this week, but if we'll play that Duke is fourth and Kansas is fifth at the end of the season, and you're telling me that Duke and Kansas play in the first round of the NCAA tournament, it's hogwash. Yeah. And something needs to be done, and they just don't want to do it. They're lazy. It isn't that hard. Again, I'll step in and help you.
You're volunteering to
these guys move here. These guys move here. It's not that hard. Move it around once in a while. There you go. Congratulations, by the way, to Hastings High School. The NSAA and Pump and Pantry are awarding the School Spirit Award, and Hastings High gets it for the month of November. So congratulations there. Folks, don't forget, it's time to schedule your preventative maintenance with T&L Irrigation Systems. T&L wants you to be ready for 2015. They know it's the holiday season. They know that you are done using your T&Ls for the 2014 season as harvest is done or almost done for some folks. T&L wants you to get that scheduled today, and they'll take care of you, making sure you're ready for 2015. Tomorrow, Brady Bonzel getting ready for the cross-country regionals. His men are nationally ranked, and Dusty Jura going to join us for our Loper Link. Bob Jensen will preview the state football championships. Sean Callahan is in for our Husker Lunch as we are live from Cunningham's tomorrow, 11 to 12, Doug and Daddy. Sean Callahan from 12 to 1. Want to thank former Husker and Houston Texan Jared Crick and Tony Harper from the Hastings College Broncos for joining us on the show today. And, of course, you as well, Monty, for some good Husker talk.
Always
relax.
Fun.
Relax.
Relax.
By the way, I think you'll find this. Add the music's over. I don't care. I thought I was going to print this off, and then I figured we wouldn't have time to get to it, and we don't. Some guy, the European Q school is going on now. You know, the Q school that they show for the PGA Tour and all that. Shot 58 this morning. which is 12 under par. They're playing a par 70. They also put in it was the shorter of the courses that they were playing, and it will not be recognized as a record because they were playing Live Clean in Place.
I don't care. 58 is 58. Wow.
See you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show from our Husker Lunch.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.